We're going to get going. Thank you, everyone. As we begin, we're going to start with the pledge. We're going to have Sean lead us, if you would.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Before you is the consent agenda, which includes the approval of the agenda, the February 23rd meeting minutes. Are there any changes, modifications, or otherwise additions that need to occur to those? If not, I'd accept a motion for the consent agenda. Okay.
Second.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed to that? Thank you. So that's all number three. Is there any public that would like to make comment? I am going blind. I think that's all us. Okay. I don't see any public comment. All right, well, let's move over to board business, and we're going to have the swearing in of our newest board member, Bob Christensen, by our admin director, Curtis Roberts. Bob, Curtis, will you give him instructions, please?
I will. Bob, in front of you, you should have a form that looks like this. It has what you're going to swear in.
Okay.
So what we'll have you do is stand up, if you don't mind. We'll have you raise your arm and repeat after me. I, and then state your name.
I, Bob Christensen.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
To the Board of Trustees of the Cache Valley Transit District.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Fantastic. Welcome to the board. Let's have you take on that paper, sign it, and then hand it to me, and we'll take care of the rest.
Thank you, Curtis. Bob, thank you, and welcome to the board. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Welcome, board.
Okay. We're going to jump down to the presentation on the Cache Metropolitan Planning Organization. Mr. Jeff Gilbert's here. Jeff, welcome. We're glad you're here with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. So, yeah, I'm Jeff Gilbert. I'm with the Cache Metropolitan Planning Organization, and one of those often called the CMPO. You like acronyms in transportation planning, as you probably well know. But I thought it might be a good chance, and Todd and I discussed, to maybe give a little overview of what the CMPO is. And we work a lot together and partnerships, so I thought I would take a chance to visit that and also talk about we're updating our long-range plan. We do that every 4 years, and so there's opportunities with transit to kind of talk about how that plugs in. So the CMPO is a regional planning agency. When Bob Ward has had as a mayor, he was on the board. Ron goes way back on the board. We have not the whole county, but 10 of the cities are part of the CMPO, so essentially from Hiram and Wellsville to the south, to Smithfield in the north, and kind of all the urbanized corridor between that. Not all urbanized, but that's our planning area. The Census Bureau sets that, and they change it, so there's a chance our boundary might be tweaked some, depending on population growth. Last census, it was adjusted and grabbed, or two censuses ago, to grab Wellsville and Hiram, so there could be some change. But the 10 mayors are part of the executive council that I answer to, and then Todd is a voting member representing transit on that and does a great job. He's our vice chair this year, so the board members have a lot of confidence in him. UDOT representative on our board, so Ron Menlove, who was appointed by the governor to be the transportation commissioner with UDOT for our area, sits on the board, and then the county of executive, and then Logan City has council, an extra seat just by difference to their size on our board. So Tom Jensen, as well as Mayor Dane, sits on the board representing them. And then we have Senator Wilson that kind of plugs in for the legislative liaison. So that's our board. And the CMPO is sort of has a federal role. The majority of our funding comes through federal Highways Administration and some through FTA. And the idea of that is when you're in an area of a certain population, you're well served by, particularly when you're allocating money and spending taxpayer dollars, by having good planning. And so percentage, we get a formula through UDOT that funds our operation. We don't get a ton of planning money, but that's how we carry out both our operation, and then oftentimes we'll do studies or partner with CBTD to do various studies or needs that are there. We also run a travel demand model, which kind of helps us analyze and look in the future and say, well, what if we invest money here? What does that do to traffic? And that's kind of a rather expensive beast to keep up and running because it's a fairly complex model. I'm the only full-time staff person. We are looking at hiring, and the board seems supportive, and I think we have the funding to add another additional transportation planner. So I'm excited about that. I've been with the CMPO for 16 years. Jim Gass, who was the city manager of Smithfield for all those years, in fact, for 30 years, served as executive director. And it was kind of just a labor of love. It wasn't a salary position or anything. When the CMPO started, it was itty bitty and there wasn't resources, and he kind of stepped in to nurse it along. Fortunately, we've come a long way, but last year he finally decided to kind of step away for good for the CMPO. So but he was never really full time. So I've kind of been the only full time staff for quite a while, so it would be nice to get some additional help to do some more things. But we are, as I said, embarking on a long-range plan. We do this every 4 years. We partner with the other agencies in the state because Utah is unique in that they try to coordinate our long-range plans. And this was really done on behest of the legislature. Kind of a level of frustration where everyone was using different cost assumptions and different financial projections, and finally we just kind of all got together, and fortunately we're a small enough state and we work well together. So other MPOs in the state, in the Wasatch Front, the Dixie MPO in St. George, UDOT, UTA, Todd's involved with this. You'll often hear of it as Utah's Unified Plan. You can go to the website. The idea of that is we kind of roll all of our regional plans into this statewide plan and have common cost assumptions, and it's just really a good way to elevate that. I will tell you that you're well served by your staff, you know, in terms of working in those statewide committees, and there's a lot. Sometimes we have to remind folks that there's transit districts outside of UTA, because oftentimes they forget about that. When they think about transit, they only think of UTA. So Todd's a good voice for that, kind of coordinating that with this unified plan team. And he's also on a statewide committee called the Joint Policy Advisory Committee, which kind of allows that to happen where there's a voice at the table. But I will tell you that you're well served by your staff in terms of how they engage on a statewide level, and there's a lot of respect there in terms of influence. So, but the long-range plan, we look out usually 20 or 30 years. This time we're going out to the year 2050, and we try to forecast needs. And we do it for roads. We do it for, the new term is active transportation. That's kind of a buzzword for bicycle pedestrian type projects. The CMPO gets some funding in a formula way through the federal government that we can allocate to projects. It's not a lot, it's about $1.7 million a year, and then get some air quality funds. But that plan helps guide that. We're also involved with the county in terms of, you may have heard of COG funding, the Council of Governments. The county initiated a 0.25% sales tax back in 2008 to fund road projects. So we kind of get involved. That long-range plan kind of helps that decision-making and priorities. So it's important. We partnered with CBTD and some funding. I think it's really worthy of note that we're kind of pivoting to our board has struggled to get the concept of a transit that's not just a human service shuttle. And so to talk in terms of a corridor, and we're kind of pivoting to that. We got some funding to start to explore that. I think they're capturing the vision, and you know, they see it in Salt Lake where, and it's a different form, but it's light rail, and they see how that's an economic development driver. It allows land uses that are supportive to grow. And I think we're at a point with our elected officials where we've gotten to where they want to talk about that. So, you know, looking at transit supportive corridors, north and south, we don't know, we have some ideas of where that might be, but that's the intent of this study, is to kind of pivot to that notion of higher intensity transit corridors. And it may not be for a while, but if we don't start thinking about it now, we will not, our opportunities will be lost. So the idea is to try to work with the cities to figure out where that might be. You know, talk about the connection of land use, because if you don't have transit supported densities and the kind of supported land uses, it's not really going to work. So we need to have that dialogue of what are those supported type of land uses. But the idea is to get kind of a long-term commitment from the cities that this is a transit supported corridor. It will likely, you know, who knows how to start. We're just exploring this, and obviously you guys will be in the driver's seat of what happens with that. But looking at, you know, what type of densities, but the hope is to get to the cities to commit to a long-term vision of a particular corridor, hopefully get you as CBTD to commit, because developers aren't going to want to invest money in something that they think will be enhanced by transit if they think it can just go away. So you need that kind of long-term vision and commitment of those corridors. We don't, so I don't want to scare you. This is just in the infancy, and we're just starting to talk about it. But I think it's a pivot to cities capturing the vision that transit, you know, can be an economic development driver for them in their communities. And, you know, it might start as an express bus. There's options of where it could go from there. It could be, probably heard of bus rapid transit and those type of technologies. But at least we're at a point where we're starting to talk about those options. Heretofore, we've struggled a bit. Every time we bring it up, we have certain people that say, oh, that's okay for Boston, but we're not Boston. But the reality is, with our valley growth, we can't do it with roads. It needs to be a multifaceted set of solutions. Transit's got to play that role. So I guess that's a lot of words to say. I'm excited about that effort, working with Todd to kind of identify that vision. Our long-range plan effort will go this kind of, we need to adopt it by June of 23. So this year is when it will kind of heat up, and we'll have, we're going to kind of piggyback off of other efforts to some degree. Cache County has done their general plan update, and it embraced cities for the first time. They didn't just focus on unincorporated county. They call it Imagine Cache. There's a great deal of public involvement, surveys, so we're going to kind of piggyback off that. The COG is doing a transportation master plan, so we're going to kind of piggyback off that. And then as well, the work that the transit district we're really trying to kind of beef up our attention to transit in our regional plan and kind of articulate a vision we're in a good position. The new mayors, I think we got into, there was quite a bit of turnover, and I think we got a really good set of new mayors. I mean, say that different a year from now, but I think we got a good set of elected officials that are serving for the right reasons. And so I'm excited about the prospect. But that's really all I had. I wanted to just give you a taste of the CMPO, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I do want to thank you for your service. This is a great thing you do, and it's appreciative of your willingness to do this. CBTU is doing great things. Any questions that I can help with? Or?
Well, you coordinate with USU as well, correct?
So we do. We try. USU through Jim Huffy and their planning section, we try to kind of dovetail. For instance, working with UDOT, we're kind of working to get a signal on 12th East. They've now said that needs Warren on 12th East to install a signal, so kind of working with them how that's configured. And then we've worked with some COG funding. There's going to be an oval valve installed there at 10th North and 12th East. You know, that's kind of a funky intersection that's got some operational challenges. So working with Logan City, with some of our air quality funds, we're funding kind of an oval valve concept. Have to see it on a diagram to envision it. But yeah, so we try to work with USU. And I think when they did a transportation master plan a few years ago, so we kind of got involved in that to make sure we are connecting them. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate you coming tonight and all the work that you guys are doing for long-range planning of the community. And Todd, we appreciate you serving in that role. We're sorry you're leaving now. Guess we're on our own. All right. Onward and upward. We're moving on to an update on our technology on the buses. Colton Fulmer, you give us an overview of what's going on there?
Yes.
Okay. So, if some of you remember, we just recently procured a intelligent transportation system from GMB Innovating Solutions. It basically, for the customer facing, it's going to help us with the more real-time ridership by stops, dates, year, that kind of stuff, and automatic customer counting. Sorry, I see the mistake I made there. Anyway, and it will, for our drivers, they can't, you know, they're counting by hand right now, and we'll be able to do automatic passenger counting, which will allow for safety for the driver. They don't have to worry about that anymore, so it's kind of bringing us forward on the technology. With that, it also comes with the CBTD branded real-time bus location with push notifications, trip planning, as well as a website embedded interactive bus map with real-time location as well, with announcements and a trip planner. And then with everything, we will be able to have automatic voice announcements by stops, so we won't rely on the drivers to have to inform bus stops coming up, bus stops they're currently at, and that kind of stuff. So right now, we have completed the planning, the importing of our entire system, our routes and everything. We've procured all the hardware and set up some of the hardware at the facility. We're kind of moving into, at this point, the dispatch and driver training, which does go for the majority of April and part of March. With that, we'll piggyback right off into install the second week, technically first week of April, and that will take the majority of April to complete. They can really only do 1 to 2 buses a day, so they kind of, and we have to work around our schedule of keeping routes and everything up and running. once that training and installation is complete, we will take a close to a month to beta test all the data and everything coming in to make sure we're getting what we want and that the system's functioning in the way that we want it to. We're going to start a public information campaign right around the same time to let everyone know we're going to have a new app, new features on the website, how to use them, that kind of stuff. And then we're shooting for a launch and acceptance of March 31st to June 15th. So that's where we're at in our timeline right now. This is just a quick, to give you kind of an idea, like on our website. Right now we only have snapshots to show you because our buses don't have hardware installed yet, so we can't see where the buses are, but we do have the routes and the network and everything. And so customers will be able to go up and pick whatever route they want to see. It will show them each bus that is running that route and where it currently is at that moment, as well as if they drill into the stop and they click a stop, it'll tell them what routes service that stop, as well as your current one that you have selected. It's 8 minutes. The bus will be there within 8 minutes, and it'll be there again in 38 minutes. And so it'll let people know exactly when to go and wait for the bus. With that, we get the CBT branded app. Right now, this is actually Kauai's, because they're still building ours right now. So this is one that's in Kauai. When you first open the app, you will have, you know, it kind of favorited to mine, but you will have your favorite route that pulls up right here, which you can all do here. You'll be able to select down at the bottom the routes, your favorites, alerts, that kind of information. This will be your routes, which will have a lot more routes than that. Apparently, they don't have very many. And once you drill into your route, you will see that's 57 minutes for the next time it'll be at that stop, and then 117 for the next time it'll be at that stop. And then it also shows other routes that service that stop, so you can decide if you want to take that one or not. We'll have push alerts through that. So right now, obviously, mask requirements for transportation, and any school closures, bus closures, anything like that, we'll be able to put alerts that we want, and it will push to them on their devices, so they don't have to remember to go look. It will actually pop up on their phone and let them know. If they opt in for that, you can obviously opt out of that. And then this is just a quick, you know, for info, we'll be able to have a link to our website, information on, you know, bicycles, how to put them on the bus, and just little anything else that's outside the app that would help them in riding our service. And that's really it. It's pretty quick.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about counting and how we can determine actual ridership. Well, just candidly, not double counting. That's really what I'm after. So that we can increase the service efficiency.
So to not, like, you're asking, like, how does it count?
How's the counter going to work? What information will it provide us? Do we get away from the double counting that's been a problem in the past? Do we create more efficiency in our ridership and routes because of it?
So from what we've looked at, there's an industry standard, like, test that they do to make sure how accurate it is. And it's a mixture of cameras and infrared to determine if it's a single person that stepped off to count. And they go through a whole process to test that during that month phase to make sure that it's counting properly, it's not counting the strollers as a person or anything like that. It changes everything like that. So that'll be all done through that whole month beta testing stage to make sure we're accurate.
Will you get any new information because of the technology update? Because by the new technology we're installing, will there be new information that the district hasn't had access to before?
I would say yes.
So maybe I can help a little bit here. So currently, what we can give you is a daily total, right? And we can give you a total by route. We can say route one had this many passengers today, route two had this many, and then that feeds up into a total. But with this, we're going to be able to see which stop, how many people got on and off of that particular stop. We can do it by time of day, day of the week. We've not had that capability.
Yeah,
so from a planning perspective,
yeah.
From a planning perspective, we can all of a sudden start seeing where are hot spots in the service, were dead spots. Is that an education thing, or is that just we're not really serving anything? Can we move that route and use that service somewhere else to be more efficient?
Yeah, good. Okay, that's helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Are you actively working with Rumor? How will the rollout be for educating the public that this is available and how it's going to work?
Yes, we will be working with Rumor. All wording and how you want to do it.
And we're going to do how-to videos as well of how to use the app.
On your site?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so we've got a very robust campaign with regards to that. That's part of that one-month public education campaign.
I'm wondering about the possibility of going to Kona to make sure it's efficient.
Yeah. We've had a lot of volunteers.
Other questions? Okay. Colton, thanks for all your interface on that. That's a big deal to us. So we're glad we're making progress.
I should say too, with the rollout, I've talked with Gregory, the chair of the public education campaign, and we will involve them also in that rollout of helping us make sure we're getting the message out in the best possible way.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks everybody for serving on that. Let's move on to the general manager's report and get a financial status update.
So I've actually asked Curtis to give us A through C on the agenda here. So we'll let him talk to us about that.
Fantastic. So everybody knows what happened on February 22nd. Nobody remembers that day.
222 born that day.
Yeah, Washington.
Actually, a little bit less liberated. That's what the Russians pulled into Ukraine. And a lot of what we've seen since then is something that I'm terming reactionary enthusiasm. And what that leads to is a lot of volatility. So in case you haven't been watching too much, the stock market's had some nice little ups and downs and weaves and turns. Everybody's curious about the price of a barrel of oil. If you followed it, I follow West Texas Intermediate crude because that seems to affect our prices the most. Went all the way up to 125, dropped all the way back down to about 96, and now is back up right around 115. So this reactionary enthusiasm, as everybody's hearing a piece of news and just wants to do something about it, right that instant, we're kind of feeling that pressure. We're, as an organization, not quite that way. We tend to take a little bit more moderate, calm approach and say, okay, what's our long-term goals? What's our long-term visions? And so when it comes to our financial status, what does that look like? Pretty calm and pretty basic. We're not making any big moves. We're not reacting a lot. We're monitoring a lot of things. So I just want to point out three things that we really pay attention to a lot, and especially I pay attention to this on a constant basis. One, wage pressures. What's happening in the wage market? Is there anything that indicates more of a long-term trend? There's always little short-term things, but what are we looking at long-term that we can see could impact us in our ability to hire, ability for our people to actually provide for a standard of living where they can sustain their families. And so we're constantly looking at all those factors and how that plays into our wages and benefits. Right now, we're stable. We see unemployment very, very low in the valley, 1.7%. It's a challenge for everybody. But we've stopped seeing, last year we came to you with fairly large wage growth. We've seen that moderate out. We're watching it. There's some indications that maybe long-term is floating up. We're studying that right now. We're not reacting. We're studying. We're being very meticulous about this approach. Second thing, and really watch, I just talked to you about fuel. I actually watch fuel on a constant basis. I know where it's going. There's not a lot we can do about it, but it does impact our ability to provide services and one of those things that could really impact our budget. Are we going to make budget this year? It's too early to tell. Could we have some problems? Absolutely. There are some indicators out there of what the price of fuel is going to moderate at. We're watching that. Once again, we're being very deliberate, very cautious in our approach. We're going to be very meticulous about understanding that. Last part, parts to our buses. If we can't get the buses on the streets and get the parts in, we've got problems. There are part shortages. Our crew is fantastic about chasing down any available vendor that might have some parts supply in there. We're expanding out our network. We're tagging team with even other locales that are purchasing those types of parts to make sure that we can get the parts in at the best price that we can find. But parts is definitely one that we worry about. We've had time when we couldn't find a supplier for radiators, and we had three or four buses down with radiator problems.
Five buses that we were
trying to moderate through. So we worked through these issues, and then we tracked down. But once again, that long-term deliberate process. So right now, I can stand in front and say, is our financial condition worse, better? No, it's pretty well moderated. We're heading right on course. We're climbing the budget as it stands now. And we're not seeing any real significant impacts that would cause us to react, because we're not enthusiastically reactionary.
What did you guys get for your last bulk gas purchase?
It was right around $337.
And then our budget is $380, right?
$350. Yeah, we're pushing it. We're watching it. We'll probably break the $350 for a while. Well, it'll be interesting to see where it moderates.
When was that?
It was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I know once.
It's $430.
You guys did? A week?
Last week.
What's that?
Do you want the bills week from this week's? Or do you want the numbers from this week?
Have you seen the current one?
Yeah, it was $399.
$399, yeah. So we expect a spike. Once again, we know it's going to react, but we're waiting for the moderation. A little bit of positive news, and all of a sudden it's going to drop back down. We're just not going to react that fast. So we're going to deliver it and watch for the trends that we see.
Well, the good news is your budget's going to go up. Your income's coming up because of inflation.
Inflation's going to impact things, and we're still waiting for sales tax numbers to come in. Obviously, they'll come in sometime this week and reflect January. Once again, we're just going to take it. Moderation and all things, we're just going to be calm. So, but we're in a solid financial condition. The district's not hurting. We've got planned out for capital needs. We've got planned out for what we're approaching to. So, in general terms, that's where we stand. But I'll answer any other specific questions, too.
Has Big D said anything about paving? Because of the cost of oil, the cost of paving?
Oh, we've had all the preliminary costs come through. So we just finished up the 100%. We did 100% schematic design and got the prices in from there. Right now, we have funding to cover all of the prices for where we're at currently. And so we're confident with that position. So we're looking forward into the next phase, which is the DD, which I always, it's demolition destruction, but it's design development, design development. And so we'll be finishing out that and then get another cost estimate come June-ish or so and getting prepared for the final RMP GMP, guaranteed maximum price. So that'll come probably in August or so.
This is just a question based upon my farm background. Do you ever keep old buses or old things for parts, like if they have a good radiator or whatever? I know that the buses sell fairly cheaply.
Ron,
are there ever good parts?
Todd and I have this debate all the time. He comes from Redneckville, and I'm very much a city boy.
Okay.
And that stuff is off the lot as fast as we can. So,
I see.
We actually had that debate about cannibalizing buses, and we've got six buses that are coming up. Eight that are coming in. I'll talk about that in just a second. We try to avoid cannibalization as much as possible. Plus, the different years of buses actually use a little bit different parts many times. And so, no, we don't really do a whole lot of cannibalizing.
Okay. That's a strong word.
That's exactly how I feel about it.
Just don't tie that in with your employees.
No, we should probably prohibit cannibalization. Yeah, fun with this stuff, right? Finance can be incredibly boring.
Yeah. Curtis, you're awfully perky for saying that.
What
else can
I kind of like volatility. It adds some diversity to life. I like watching people, like a bit of news comes out, you can see the stock market crash 1%, go up 1%. You're kind of like, I'm just chill.
I'm not liking it.
It's really, I've been around long enough, I've seen things go way up, I've seen things go way down, and as long as we've got a solid long-term plan, we seem to hit it. And I have a lot of confidence in our team and being able to make those long-term projections. So, no, we don't tend to react to the news, we tend to look at the long-term approach. Was it Eaton Hutton that used to say something? I don't know. There's nothing that we see that should cause us immediate concern. I guess that's the biggest message that I, and that gives me enthusiasm. Yeah, I kind of like being able to say that. Thank you.
Have you guys seen an uptick in ridership? It was always around the 350, I think you said, when it gas gets around 350
or more. Four is a real trigger point. I mean, the last numbers that I saw, we were up 25 to 30% each day over last year.
That's significant.
Okay. Yeah, we're seeing an uptick.
Yeah.
So, I would expect more and more of that as people feel some of the pressure. That's one of the big reasons why we want to take the long-term approach. We want to be able to provide consistent, constant service. If there's one thing we learned in the 2009 to 2012 years. People came to rely on the bus service quite a bit. The more that we can be reliable and dependable in those needs, we find that brings them a level of comfort. And that's when we can really gain that real ridership, because they know the bus is going to be there. They know the bus is going to get them where they need to go. Our drivers do a dang good job of delivering them safely. So. Great question.
So what's the story of the buses? You said you're
going to
talk about
it. That is the next item. Do you want me to go ahead and go on?
Yes. Please.
Tell me if I'm going too long.
Oh, I will.
Okay. So we have 8 buses scheduled for delivery. Once again, manufacturing has been impacted by parts, and it's really interesting how this is impacted. Our buses weren't scheduled to be delivered until the middle part of April-ish is what we had initially planned. We got notified, your buses actually have most of your parts here, so we're accelerating you into the line, because other places, their specific models had parts that weren't in stock. So we actually got accelerated, and then after our buses were mostly built, we just got noticed that there's a few parts that they're missing, so they took our completed buses out, parked them outside. Luckily, it's in California, so really nice weather. And they're sitting waiting for a couple last parts. The latest notice said maybe this Friday the parts will come, so we're hoping for a delivery right around the first part of April is what we'd really hope to see. But once again, it's contingent on those part deliveries. The coolest part is we just finished lining up all the funding. These buses are gonna cost us right a little bit more than $3.8 million for all of these. We just finished lining up all the funding, got it in place, signed the contracts, and the net out-of-pocket to the district is going to be a whopping $15,000.
Good.
Wow.
Wow.
Goodness.
That's great. How do they deliver a bus? Do they drive it on a truck?
No, they drive them up. That's part of the road testing. We actually kind of appreciate that, because they bring them up over the mountain so most of the time, and so they get a pretty good road test making it here. Mm-hmm. By the time that comes, our mechanics can get out there, watch for shimmies and stuff like that that might have picked up, and make sure that everything's still in good working order, see if anything jarred loose. Jody can speak. We typically don't have too many problems that we have to have fixed.
No, we run through a post-delivery audit. I mean, we have a pre-delivery inspection and a post-delivery audit, and we run through a PMI, or preventive maintenance inspection checklist. They rarely have problems from the current supplier.
So do we drive them home back, or they drive them?
No, they're responsible for delivery.
Okay.
All the way up into the yard. And so then we have to perform all of our inspections. We have a Buy America audit that I'm currently performing, that I will perform. That's my task to get done. And then once we've done our full acceptance, that's when we'll actually pay out to Gillig. So
are these hybrid?
They are not hybrid. The cost versus what we've seen as far as the benefits from it, it's just not there. So these are the clean diesel. So that, once again, when you're subject to testing,
they're worth about, I think it was 1 to 10, right? Yeah, right. They emit about about the same pollution as what a car does. One car. So if we get 10 people on the bus, it's like taking 10 cars off the road. That's where I come. Our ridership goal is 10 plus per hour, so those buses are designed to take 10 cars off the road. The equivalent of.
That's why you have to get the electronic counter, because you can go over 10 and you...
Bingo! It pops up green on my screen.
What size are
these? These ones are all going to be 35 footers, so these are replacing a little bit smaller fleets, so that they run a lot better down on the island in some of our tighter neighborhoods, so they work out really well there.
How about the next one? Triennial review.
Triennial review. This one's really quick. They came, they saw, they gave us findings. They gave us till March 15th to respond to all those findings and issue any, satisfy any recommendations of implementation of policies, procedures that we need to do. We met all that, delivered them all of the goods back on March 1st, so we were about 15 days in advance of what their expectation was. We're still waiting to hear back from the feds about their acceptance of what they have to. They'll issue a final letter clearing all the findings, stating that we've satisfied all the findings. And that's what we're looking forward to. So we're just in holding pattern right now, but we exceeded their delivery timeline.
How many findings did you have to respond to?
We had 3 findings.
What were they?
We talked about that previously, but they were, we had a procurement where we had some language regarding how we would handle DBE contractors that they felt was too restrictive, so we had to change some language there. We had a DBE program finding. We needed to update the DBE program, so we brought that to the board to update in January when we adopted that. So we submitted that new program and all the documents that they required with that. And then the other one was actually with the MPO, with our public participation process, as to some of the, they wanted a little bit stronger language in the actual plan for how we would have public participation. And so we beefed that up. MPO adopted that policy, because we coordinate with them. We could have this board do that public participation, but we really try to build upon these partnerships with the MPO so that we really are doing a coordinated plan. But it takes some coordination. We just kind of beef that language up.
Did they give you a deadline for when they would let you know if they accepted your response, or did they only give you a deadline?
No,
deadlines only work one way.
And for these, they'll go back through and review. Typically, they respond within 30 days. Okay. So, but they'll have from the 15th. So we're not expecting anything until middle to end of April.
Gotcha. Thanks.
No, good question.
No? Not seeing any? Curtis, thank you. Appreciate all you're doing.
Got to.
Thank you. Todd, will you walk us through what's going on in the legislature? What went on, I should say?
Yeah, what went on? So each year we stay engaged with the legislature like most entities do. For us, this was a good session. Not a lot happening that impacted us. Just a couple things. They dealt with remote meetings, doing meetings virtually. There's some new requirements that we'll be working with the policy committee on. We need to just update our bylaws a little bit to deal with proxy voting, and then also to deal with if it's not a unanimous vote and someone's participating virtually, that it has to be a roll call vote. So just some minor tweaks. You've already dealt with the allowance of a virtual meeting, so we didn't have to really update too much there. There's also a few grandma things. Our representative, Dan Johnson, and then our senator, Senator Wilson, put forth a bill that clearly defined who a media member was. So a media member's not someone that's blogging or doing a YouTube channel. They have to be someone that's actually working for a publication or a TV station. And then talked about that if someone makes a grandma request and they're not a member of the media, how that's handled, or if someone's making repeated grandma requests, sometimes you'll have that to where someone's you know, constantly requesting documents from an entity. And they dealt with that in that if you've requested it within the last 10 days, the entity can charge you additional fund for that. One thing that will impact us as well is in previous, we've always put a tentative budget. In November, we've adopted a tentative budget, and then that's put out to the public that it's available for the public. They can request it through our office. We just now have to post it on our website at least 7 days before the adoption of a final budget. So that's just a minor nuance. And then a couple things with regards to making records private. One, that they passed a thing that now things to do with security, so security plans, how we deal with terrorist threats or emergency recovery, things of that nature, those are all protected documents now. If someone makes a grandma request, we're able to deny that. And then also if someone's an employee is giving an interview as part of an investigation of misconduct, that interview would be protected as well, so that the employee feels like they can share information. So minor things, really, honestly, from standpoint of the district, from our standpoint. And again, we'll engage the policy committee and make sure that we get everything up to date and that everything's current. So that's, and then from a national level, the chair and I usually go back to DC. We haven't for a couple of years because of COVID. We've been doing that virtually. But Patrick and I will probably be going back to DC in June to meet with delegation members, some other members, meet with CTAA, our national association folks, and just, again, sharing with the delegation and others our projects, the things that we're working on, making sure that they understand what we're trying to accomplish from that standpoint. So that's kind of the legislative update.
Any idea when have you heard anything about mask mandate?
So the latest thing is what you've heard is April 18th is what it got extended to. We're really hopeful that maybe they'll separate airlines from public transit. But again, I don't know. I don't even really have any indications at this point. So we just wait and see. So we do hear from people from time to time that they're not going to ride the bus when there is a mask mandate. So I do think that, while fuel prices are driving some maybe ridership increases, I do think when the mask mandate does go away that we might see folks come back that aren't currently riding as well. And maybe I'll just jump into the last thing here. It's kind of a legislative type thing. So late fall of 2020, right, 2020, yeah. We, through Representative Moore's office, put forth what they call congressional directed spending, right? A request through his office, and that was really to fund this technology deployment we're talking about with regards to what Colton talked to you about on the fixed route, then also microtransit, and then purchase buses around that. Because it got delayed just with the transportation bill getting delayed, we had continuing resolutions. We needed to move forward on that project, right? So we allocated different funds for that. But we've since, now that the transportation bill has been authorized and it will, the funding's been made available, our request was successful. And so we've secured $3 million through Congressman Moore's office for that project. We're gonna be working with FTA to see if we can transition that to something else, maybe the facility. And so we're just in that process now, but the funding's been allocated to us. We've been successful in that. Now we'll just figure out how we transition that to something else. But just wanted to make you aware of that.
Okay, any questions?
There was another law that Todd forgot. Driving over 100 miles per hour now is a Class A misdemeanor, not the Class B, so you got to warn buses.
Our buses don't know.
Yeah, that's
going to happen.
That's a real problem. If we're even close to that, Sean, no.
Yeah. The new system will actually detect that and flash a warning. It's awesome.
Hey, we're going to have to get somebody pushing that bus pretty hard.
I think it needs a different power plant.
Thanks, Todd. Todd spent a ton of time in Salt Lake, being plugged into the to the legislature session. I appreciate all the time and effort you've put into that, make sure that our interests are represented and that we're well aware of what changes are coming. So we're gonna move over to the board chair report. Our next meeting is actually the day of the 30th anniversary of CBTD. That's pretty awesome. So to tell us what's gonna happen, Gregory Shannon's gonna walk us through what the night entails.
We are going to have a party, and Patrick has agreed to dress up as a clown.
Welcome.
Part of this is to really celebrate what's happened 30 years with the district. And we're going to be having a meeting. We're going to be inviting our city councils and mayors. Notice and invitations right here in front of you. If you will make sure, I'm going to put the individual names of the city council and the mayors. I'm going to go by the office, put it in their boxes, so I know that they're going to get it. And then I'll follow up with a phone call. And we would like them to participate with that. It'll be a regular meeting time. It'll be a very short meeting time. A lot of the time will be spent talking about what's happened in 30 years, what's going on. Todd is already working with some legislators and other hoobahs to either call in or be here to give us congratulations and doing those sort of things. Let's see. We need to do the personal invitations soon, so they can, our cities and can make sure they plug in their personal calendars for something like this. We can't wait too long. If you run into a problem with getting these delivered for your cities or like Cache County, Charisse, would it be okay if they contacted you, then public and the engagement committee will go deliver those for you? If you know you're not gonna be able to, we will make sure they get there.
Good.
There's going to be refreshments.
And the location is?
To be determined.
The Riverwoods. We'll
okay.
Rent a room of the Riverwoods. It's on
that's what
on
it
there.
Says the invitation.
Okay. As we say, it's to be determined. We got to remix it.
We don't have the room, but we'll have signage there for folks. I mean, they'll know where to go.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. For any of you that would like to make this a little informal presentation on the next city council meeting, if you can get on their schedule, that'd be great if you want to do that. If you can't, and you'd like that done, or you'd like to have some support, let us know and the public engagement committee will go in and give you support as you do those. And that's with anything you're doing, anytime you give a report to your cities, the accountability stuff, it's important to let us know when that's gonna happen so we can be there with you. Any other questions on that?
You want it, if I announce this in city council meeting, is it for council members? Council members and staff? Is it for the public?
It's more, I think, it's going to be for council members and the mayor.
Okay.
We're certainly not going to turn people away, though.
No.
So.
Okay. It's just how I word it.
Sure. Yeah. And I appreciate that.
So
we are doing, Jeannie, during the day at the Transit Center, we'll be doing something for riders and employees and that, I mean, the public in general, definitely. And we'll get that information out.
Okay. Well, it would be nice if we could announce them both.
Perfect. I'll send you an email with
okay.
that.
Thank you.
That's a great point.
And if any of you would like to help support the Transit Center with this celebration for the public, you're more than welcome to come on down and help out there. So,
are we going to flip burgers again?
Later in June.
Out of that one.
And Mike Arnold was on the board back then, 30 years ago.
That's right.
I was a driver 30 years ago.
That's right.
We're going to invite previous board members.
Is that when the transit district started as the transit district, or is that when the bus service started in Logan?
It's when bus service started.
Okay.
LTD.
LTD.
So does the Riverwoods allow food to be brought in? You talked to Holly and myself about, I'm not sure they do.
You said you were gonna be out of town, so I haven't talked to you, but I talked to Holly. We've got.
We're good.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry to miss him. I was just getting scared if the public is invited.
Well, we're hoping for those sweet rolls.
Holly's all along doing this.
You're saying that I'll be those sweet rolls.
Paul, I'm with you.
Holly will either need 50 or 500 sweet rolls.
It'll be interesting when this comes out, because from day one, there's a lot of things I don't know. I picked up a little bit over the 4 years I've been here, but it's gonna be interesting to hear some of the things that arrive, maybe some stories from people that are on the board if they're still around. So I think it's gonna be a very nice celebration for us.
Good.
Great. One more piece of information. You see these sitting beside you? I think you have one. That was, we had asked Rumor to put together some material for us. This was sent to you in an email. I think there was three types of information given to us in the email from Cerise. This is a talking piece. It can be a leave behind, but this is what we're going to be doing this year. We're going to be talking about the economic impact that we have. You each have one. I have a whole stack here, and I can get more. If you would like more, come by and grab some of these tonight, or simply drop a line. I hate the building such as trees. Send it to me, and I'll make sure, email me how many you need, and we'll take care of it that way. But if you would like more of these, I'm thinking about a little package I'm gonna put together separately for another presentation to the City Council here in Nipley. So, any questions?
Other questions? Gregory, thank you for your leadership. Thanks for heading up the communications on this. We appreciate all you're doing there. Before we wrap up, is there any other public comment? I thought there was somebody on Zoom via public. Just check and see if there's any public comment we need to make or any other reports from the board. I am not hearing any or seeing any. So with that, thank you all for your time, and we will adjourn.
Thank you.